Welcome to the Brexit Podcast. Thanks for joining us and giving us our first show. Congratulations on finding us. The idea for this podcast is to make sense of the nonsense that is Brexit. I'm your host, Tim Hemming. I've been a journalist longer than I haven't been a journalist, and I'll be asking the questions to guests from far and wide and from left and from right. So if you would like to suggest somebody, then just pop along to our website, brexitpodcast.com, and drop us a note. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and we would love to hear from you. For our first show, there's been much talk about disaffected youth in society. So did the referendum engage young people with politics once more? As you'll hear from the interview, I've kept this one fairly close to home, and I would love to hear your views. But without further ado, I shall pop this one on. It goes on for about 10-15 minutes, so hope you enjoy. For my first show, I've kept it close to home, and for a man who will, hopefully, have far longer to live with the consequences of this decision than I. A man not yet out of his teens, but whose sharp opinions I've been on the other end of for almost two decades. Welcome, my nephew Tom.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for joining me today for the first one. Bit of a crash course in podcasting for us both. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, bit excited. Bananas.
Great. Yeah, you and me both. So let's dive straight into it, Tom. Brexit. It's been across the news now for the past few months, but as a 19-year-old, do people of your age even talk about it?
Me and a lot of my friends spoke about Brexit a lot in the build-up to the vote, especially, not so much afterwards. Just kind of talking about what we thought everyone was going to vote for, and most of us, like everyone I spoke to except for two people, said that they were going to vote to stay. So I think we were all mainly sharing the same opinion.
And were these opinions really strong?
Yeah, we had our opinions. We thought that mainly the reason people wanted to leave was because of the old "we want to take control of our country back" type standpoint, and we didn't really support that. So we had quite strong opinions that we wanted to stay.
I see. Now, as we're obviously the vote has gone for leave, how did you actually feel about that?
I felt a bit disappointed. We stayed up for most of the night watching the results come in, and at times it looked like it was in our favour, and at other times we were like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. I personally think the country itself will be fine regardless of like stay or leave, so I think we'll do fine. It's more that I didn't want us to leave the EU for the wrong reasons, and I think a lot of people voted leave because of the wrong reasons. Like, they think it's like migration and stuff is mainly the reason we're going to leave, that sort of thing. It was scaremongering, the advertising.
So what are your biggest concerns then over Brexit? Would you say that
personally, I think that, and it's been shown recently in the media, that Brexit's encouraged a lot of racist people, like on buses and trains and stuff, to sort of speak out. It's given them a bit of confidence to speak out and voice their opinions.
Does it feel like a step back two decades?
It does, yeah. It feels like we're rewinding a bit. Yeah, because it feels like it's obviously not common. It's very rare, but when it does happen, it feels like it's happening everywhere because it goes all over social media. But yeah, it's just racism, really.
What about some of those people that said they voted leave not as a vote for bigots and xenophobes, but actually that the European Parliament has too much power and they would rather be governed more so by a British Parliament?
That's fine. For people that have got other reasons to vote leave, if they've got valid reasons, I've got nothing against the people that voted leave. I've just got I've got a problem with those that voted leave without doing their research, or if it was purely for the xenophobic side.
Okay. Now, look, one of the issues that has come up with us leaving the European Union is potential for it to make it more difficult to travel and work abroad. Is that something that you've factored in? And do you see that your generation really have more of an appetite to move on to the continent to work?
I think that's happening more and more. A lot of people I know have, when they finish their A levels, they've gone travelling for a few years and done work here and there while they travel. And I know one person that went to work abroad for, I think he's been there for 3 years now, and he really enjoys it. And it's that freedom that we had, and it's the uncertainty of whether we'll continue to have it. So those that want to do it in the future is whether they'll be able to, or whether they're just restricted now. We aren't sure.
What is your view on whether we will be able to continue moving in there so seamlessly as we have done for the past few years?
I'm hoping that things will stay relatively the same, because I think we are quite a big source of other countries' like tourist like group. I think it would be silly if they didn't try and keep freedom of movement as open as possible. But you just, it's the uncertainty again. It's like you don't actually know how things are going to work out. So, you know, you just got to wait and see, really.
And so you personally, when you take a look at yourself in the mirror, do you see yourself as an Englishman, a Brit, a European, or a world citizen?
More of a world citizen. I've never really been a big fan of the old, you're part of like one community, which is why I quite like the idea of the European Union, because it brought together a whole bunch of different communities and made us feel like we're part of one bigger community. Whereas by leaving the EU, I feel like that's been separated a bit, and there's like a bit of tension from countries as to what's going to happen next.
Just looking at some of the intricacies of the Brexit, and particularly the politicians that were involved, did anybody jump out at you and strike a chord and you thought was kind of dominating the media landscape with their views?
From the Leave campaign, it was definitely sort of the one person that I seem to see a lot of was Nigel Farage, who's once again decided he's going to step down as leader of UKIP. So we'll wait and see if that actually happens. But
Farage is interesting, isn't he? Because he does have some kind of polarises opinion, yet he always seems to be a presence, and he's never out of the headlines. Everybody knows who Nigel Farage is now.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because he makes a lot of statements that are going to get a lot of publicity. So I think he said something about the possibility that leaving the EU would be able to fund the NHS with, I think it was 350 million a week.
Yeah.
Extra. I think that was one of the advertisements that was said, and I think he was one of the people that said it. And then post Brexit on TV in the morning, he said that he regretted making that statement, and that it's actually not the case, or is unlikely to be the case.
Mm. But that seemed to win a lot of votes for the Leave,
yeah.
Vote Leave campaign.
So the Vote Leave, I kind of think a lot of it was built on the topics of then. So obviously the NHS is in deep water at the moment. We're not really sure what's going on with that. So they took advantage of the uncertainty of the NHS to get people to vote Leave. And obviously by saying, oh, look at all this funding, we can give the NHS that, possibly won a few people over, which, you know, is rightfully so. If they actually were able to fund the NHS with 350 million a week, that's great. That's definitely worth a few votes, but it's whether or not it's true or, you know.
The NHS is, people get incredibly emotional about the NHS. It's a very emotive issue, and probably overlaps with the immigration issue, which is very much the forefront of a lot of people's minds,
yeah.
in various communities, probably outside of London, is a key reason perhaps that people voted Leave. When we look at the NHS, do you have a sense that with more migrants that puts more of a strain on NHS resources, or do you believe that actually with the additional tax that they're bringing into the country, and also the fact that a lot of our NHS workers come from overseas, it's actually a positive impact on our National Health Service?
I don't actually, when it comes to the NHS, I don't know a whole lot about whether the people that work there, like how much money is being brought in from who and things like that. But I definitely think that the idea of free healthcare is something that we shouldn't we should definitely try and fund it, because it's a really important thing. And I think definitely it's got its benefits of having, like, I don't have a problem with the immigration, and them getting free healthcare, like the people that come over, that's absolutely fine because it's something that we offer, especially if they're contributing to our economy, because they're contributing to our economy in the same way we are. We shouldn't give them less back than we get. If they're over here and working hard, then they should get everything that we get, really. That's my opinion.
And what about companies that set up over here? Now, in the news this week, there was reports that Ford, the car company, they were going to move out of Bridgend and Dagenham's, both voted to leave. Both those constituents voted to leave, but that would be at a cost of 3,800 jobs. So that uncertainty amongst the big multinational companies to get out of Britain, do you think long term that could have an effect?
Yes, I do. Again, like you say, it's uncertain. You can never, you, we can't say for 100% that that's what's going to happen, but that's clearly, it's having effects already. And like the, what was it, the pound dropped to an all-time low, but it's slowly coming back. So you never know, things could slowly come back once this levels out, but while there's choppy seas at the moment, you don't really know what's going on.
And just you personally, how, on perhaps on a scale of 1 to 10, how positive do you feel about your own future?
I'm feeling pretty good because I personally don't have, I'm not one of the people that wants to travel loads and work in loads of different countries. So like that uncertainty doesn't, it's not there for me because I'm not thinking about doing it. But with regards to the community that I was on about earlier, the EU community and like the community of everywhere else, it's just, you feel a bit divided, like, because it's been in the news that we've been told to like hurry up to get out of the EU, like because we're taking too long, and it's like, not sure how everyone feels about it in other countries, but over here it's like very mixed opinions, isn't it? It was almost 50-50 the vote, so no one's going to be happy either way.
Very true, very true. Thanks, Tom. Thank you ever so much for being our first guest.
It's all right.
We're just going to finish off what we're going to do at the end of each podcast. We're going to pick a publication of the podcast. And for the first one, we've gone to the wise old sages of the Daily Mash, and we're going to provide five of the best Daily Mash Brexit headlines just to finish. So in at number five, we've got government to spend 350 million a week on Brexit. Yeah, quite tame for the Daily Mash, actually. In number four, we've got, we quite like Hitler, say Brexit supporters. Number three, Brexit campaign baffled by its appeal to people with tinfoil hats. Kind of a typically quirky Daily Mash headline there. Number two, entire family being melodramatic twats about Brexit. That's published probably on the day after. And in at number one, countries whose names do not work with the suffix exit are barred from leaving the EU. That's it from myself and Tom for this week. We're voting leave for now, and but we hope you vote to remain for episode two, which will be out shortly. See what I did there? Very clever. So to download us, stream us, or scream at us, visit brexitpodcast.com or find us on iTunes.
The Brexit Podcast.